So nice to see you all this morning. This morning I would like to share with you an article written by Pastor Paul Chappell of Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. He has a Bible school, a college associated with the church, and quite a large enterprise. And my hope is that this will encourage all of us to commit to our spiritual growth. I'm not saying that you aren't growing or not interested, but I just thought this would be an encouragement to help us in case, maybe we've slipped a little bit or some things have gone by the way. The proof that you aren't slipping in your spiritual growth is the fact that you're here in church this morning. That shows that you are concerned about your growth, spiritual growth, and within the Lord. And we all need encouragement from time to time to keep on doing those things that keep us close to Christ and near our Heavenly Father, especially in these last days when things are so difficult and troublesome. So we're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture first, and then I'm going to read for you the article that he posted in his blog. So first, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 17 and 18 of 2 Peter 3, we read this: "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," things that he had written about in previous verses, he said, "beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." What Peter is telling us here is the importance of growing in grace. And that if we stop growing, we don't just stay where we have arrived in our spiritual growth, but rather we will begin to go back. He talks about being led away with the error of the wicked, falling from your own steadfastness. Not that you lose your salvation, but you lose steadfastness, steadiness in your own spiritual walk if you are not on the positive side of growing in grace. And so Peter encourages us through those couple of verses to continue to work in our spiritual growth, that we might please God and strengthen our own faith day by day. And there are so many distractions in the world around us today that if we're not careful, they may distract us enough that we begin to fall back from our own steadfastness and maybe not be as sharp as we need to be and should be with the Lord. So 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18, it's important couple of verses for us as we talk about spiritual growth. Then turn to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. You probably know these verses. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 12 to 13, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved," there's beloved again, Peter used that, now Paul uses beloved, "as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So Paul tells us that we don't work for our salvation. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9 that it's by grace through faith that we are saved, not of works, right? And that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. So it's not, Paul's not saying work for your salvation, but rather to work out the salvation that you already have. That is, to work with it, to grow in it, to echo Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we are saved, we need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. And as good Bereans, we want to be searching the Scriptures how often? Daily, that we might be assured of the things that we hear, either from this pulpit or on the radio or over the internet, TV, that it is in truth according to the Word of God. So work out your own salvation. And we don't do it just simply by our own human ingenuity or strength, because Paul said it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So as we trust in him, he will work in us so that we can work out all the things that he has given to us in our salvation. Good verse to keep in mind. Also, turn to Ephesians 5, passage of scripture that we read earlier. Ephesians 5, find verse 15, where the apostle says, "See then that ye walk," what is it? "Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And so to walk circumspectly will require us to be in the growth mode to see that happen. The term circumspectly is the Greek word akrobos. Does that help you understand what it means? No. Akrobos. Akrobos means exactly, accurately, and diligently. So we are to walk accurately, diligently, exactly, and that would be exactly as the Lord, through his word, has given us how to walk. And to do that, we must continue to be involved in our spiritual growth. So those are several good verses to keep in mind when we think about spiritual growth. Now, Pastor Paul Chappell writes a blog, which I get in my email box about once a month. And this last month's blog is about spiritual growth. And I liked it so much that I thought I should share it with you today. So I trust that that's okay with you. Doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyways. He titled his article, "How to Build Spiritual Habits That Last." And so that caught my attention. Not that, I was deficient in spiritual habits, but I thought, here's something that could maybe re-energize spiritual growth. Maybe would be helpful for some of us here this morning. So here's what he wrote, and I'm reading verbatim. He said, "I am a strong proponent of setting goals, but goals without habits don't make progress. Perhaps you began this summer with goals for your spiritual growth, plans to spend more time in God's Word, to pray more consistently, or to deepen your walk with Christ. But if you're like most of us, you've probably discovered that good intentions aren't enough. Without daily, intentional habits, even the best goals fade with time. I'd like to encourage you. It's not too late to grow. In fact, building spiritual habits that last isn't about having the perfect start. It's about taking the next right step." So whether you're just beginning on a goal you have set to develop a spiritual habit or need a fresh restart, here are four simple ways that will help you grow consistently and deeply in your walk with God. And so he lays out four things that will help spiritual growth. Ready? Number one, he says, start where you are. Start where you are. Spiritual growth doesn't begin with grand declarations. It begins with honest assessment and simple steps. If you've struggled to stay consistent in your Bible reading or prayer life, don't be discouraged. Just start where you are. You don't need to commit to memorizing the book of Revelation or reading half the Bible in a week. If you've been inconsistent, try reading one chapter a day. If you've already established a rhythm, consider reading four chapters a day to complete the Bible in a year. The goal is not to impress God with spiritual ambition. It is to walk with Him faithfully and consistently. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Luke 16, verse 10. Growth begins with faithfulness in small things. So, start simply and let steady daily steps shape habits that last. Start where you are. Begin there. Number two, he says, schedule it. So number one is start where you are. Number two is schedule it. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. If it doesn't get scheduled, it likely won't get done. We schedule what matters. Vacations, hobbies, appointments, projects. Our walk with God deserves the same intentionality. So, set a specific time to read your Bible. Choose a consistent time to pray. Plan to be in church. When spiritual priorities take a place on your calendar, they begin to take root in your life. As Ephesians 5, verse 16 reminds us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Time is limited and easily lost. That's why we must use it purposefully, especially when it comes to the things that matter most. For devotional and prayer habits, I suggest, and you might want to highlight this, I suggest that you make it a point to meet with God before you meet with the world. Interesting statement, isn't it? That's a good principle. I suggest that you make it a point to meet with God before you meet with the world. I like that. I underlined it and highlighted that statement. For many people, mornings work best. The psalmist said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." Psalm 5, verse 3. Just an aside here. I'm glad that the morning is up to noon on the clock. So anything before 12 noon is still morning, right? So it might be a late morning to spend time with the Lord. I suggest that you make it a point to meet with God before you meet with the world. For many people, mornings work best. If your clearest thinking and quietest moments happen in the morning, give that time to God. Schedule it and guard it. So start where you are. Schedule it. Number three, he suggests use helpful tools. Whether it's books, websites, or your own pen and paper, tools can help strengthen your daily walk with the Lord. So here are a few suggestions of some tools that you may want to utilize in your devotions and quiet time with the Lord. First of all, he suggests a Bible reading plan. Who uses a Bible reading plan to read through the Bible in a year or whatever? A few hands, okay. That's what he suggests. Use a Bible reading plan. Whether you use a printed schedule or an app like, he suggests, Olive Tree or the McShane plan. I have no idea what those are. On my iPad, I have a Bible program that also provides reading plans through the year, which is what I use on my iPad. We have put schedules out for reading through the Bible in a year. We've put out schedules for reading through the New Testament in 60 days, even Jeremiah, Lamentations in 60 days. So we got a few things around that can help with our scheduling to read through God's Word. So Bible reading plan, he says, find a plan that works for you and stick with it. A plan provides structure and keeps you moving forward even on the busy days. So Bible reading plans. Then he also suggests journals. How many keep a journal? A few. He says, writing down what God is teaching you can help solidify truth in your heart. Whether you record answered prayers, meaningful verses, or spiritual questions, a journal helps you to slow down, reflect, and trace God's hand at work in your life over time. Aside, personally, I've never really gotten into journaling as such. There are times when I'm studying through a particular passage or a book that I'll have paper beside me to jot down notes and ideas, basically for sermon ideas and things like that. But I've heard it before, and some of you can attest to the fact that journaling is helpful to just keep track of what God's doing in your life and things that are going on, for which you can then give him praise and thanks. And that can be helpful in our spiritual growth. The third tool he suggests, and I know you're all going to like this one, scripture memory cards. Scripture memory cards. He says, choose verses that speak to your current needs. Spiritual warfare, witnessing, encouragement, and write them out. Keep them on your desk, in your pocket, or by your bedside. And then he said this, and I've highlighted this. Repetition builds retention. And memorized scripture becomes a powerful weapon in spiritual battles. Right? Repetition builds retention. And memorized scripture becomes a powerful weapon in spiritual battles. Do you remember what Psalm 56 verse 3 says? We talked about it last week. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Right? Good verse to have memorized and in our minds, so that when fearful times may come, we know what to do. We can turn to the Lord and trust in him to help during that difficult time. Repetition builds retention. Memorized scripture becomes a powerful weapon in spiritual battles. When I was in Bible college, Audrey, I'll remember this, maybe Robert, we had Bible verse quizzes. And I think at the end of the year, there was an exam where you, 100 verses, some of them, they would give you the reference and you'd have to write out the verse. Others would be the verse and you'd have to give the reference. When I graduated in 1986, 87, they did away with that. not part of the grad quiz. I was so thankful to the Lord for that because I wasn't sure I would be able to do well. But in various typical classes where we would have verses to memorize, I found that the best way was to write out the verse myself, not just simply to read it here and try to lock it away, but to write it out on a card helped to solidify it here, and then you had the card to take with you and work on retaining that. So you know I advocate memorizing of Scripture. Done that over the years. The fourth tool, resource, he suggests, is devotional resources. So a Christ-centered devotional can offer added encouragement and insight alongside your Bible reading. He suggests daily in the Word, email devotions include a daily reading plan plus a Bible schedule to follow. So we have things like our daily bread over on the table that you can use as a simple devotional, or days of praise from the Creation Research Institute, a little bit more structured in the days of praise, but you may find those to be helpful in devotions to keep you go on track. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness." The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Proverbs 21:5. In other words, intentional effort leads to spiritual abundance. Thoughtful planning is one of the simplest and most effective ways to stay consistent in your walk with God. So devotional tools, devotional resources may be a help for our spiritual growth. And number four, the last one, is stay accountable. Stay accountable. He says, we all need encouragement, and one of the best ways to stay spiritually strong is to stay connected. God never intended for us to grow in isolation. So share your spiritual goals with a Christian friend, a small group leader, or someone who has discipled you. Ask them to check in with you and pray for you along the way. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 reminds us, two are better than one, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Like that. Proverbs 4 verse 9. And then Pastor Chappell said this, accountability isn't about pressure, it's about support. Accountability isn't about pressure, it's about support. It's about walking together in grace and truth, helping one another to stay faithful and focused. When someone else knows your intentions, they can encourage you, celebrate progress with you, and gently remind you when you lose momentum. So stay accountable. And remember, accountability isn't about pressure, it's about support. He closes his article with this. Spiritual growth doesn't require a perfect plan or flawless execution. It simply requires a willing heart and daily faithfulness. Start small. Stay consistent. Use the tools God has given you and walk with others who will encourage you along the way. You will be amazed at how God works in your life when you commit to growing with him one step at a time. And that is from Pastor Paul Chappell, Lancaster Baptist Church. That was good, eh? Four things. And we, again, I say it's not because I don't think you're doing any of those things, but it's a good encouragement to hear from kind of another voice, Pastor Chappell, and that can be an encouragement for us to hang in there and keep going in what we're doing. I hope his four suggestions will be an encouragement to you, to me as well, to stay strong in our commitment to personal spiritual growth. And I say, let's do this together. We do it when we fellowship on Sundays in service, at prayer meetings. On Wednesdays, we give an opportunity for testimonies about what God is doing in our lives and maybe some things that we are learning from His Word. I think prayer meeting is a good place to share those kinds of blessings. And so we encourage you to become part of prayer meeting, whether morning or evening. So I hope this was an encouragement for you. If you would like a copy of the article from Pastor Paul Chappell, I do have it printed out, and I can run some copies off for you if you like. Just let me know after the service. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for simple yet profound message this morning. We thank you for individuals like Pastor Paul Chappell down there in Lancaster, California. Certainly has a wonderful ministry there in that particular state, which is, as far as we can ascertain, very ungodly and humanistic. But we thank you for the ministry that they can have down there. And thank you for this article that he wrote. We trust that it would be helpful for us just to encourage us to keep on, to keep steady in our own personal spiritual growth. We know that that is what you would want for us, as we have read in Peter's letter and Paul's letters. I pray that you would just encourage us to hang in there and to keep going with with those things that will help in our growth, our spiritual growth, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to work out our own salvation. We know that you are working in us to see that goal accomplished, and I pray that we will be able to see those little steps of growth in our lives from day to day, maybe month to month, year to year. And thank you for the strength and the wherewithal that you give to each one. Thank you for opportunities to share together with others what you are doing in our lives, or things that we are learning, answers to prayer. Thank you for the fellowship that we can enjoy as well when we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays. And so I pray that you would just undertake for us, and that the few thoughts we shared today will be a real help for us in maintaining our own work in spiritual growth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.